So part of our celebration this morning, I thought it'd be kind of nice to get a chance to hear from some people that have been coming to the church, some for quite some time, some for a short time, and just get a little chance to meet some of the people and hear what God's been doing in their hearts. So I told them I wouldn't have them make a speech. I would just kind of ask them a few questions and give them a chance to share. So I thought it'd be kind of fun this morning. Let's have Greg Patton. Where's Greg at? See in the back? Where's he at? Greg. He's hiding. Come here, Greg. All right, so this is Greg. He's been playing bass guitar. So, Greg, how long have you been coming to the church here?
Well, let's see, on and off. I believe I started with the worship team around 2010, 2011. Had been here a handful of times before that.
So it's about 6 years. And yep. Tell us a little bit, how has coming to Vineyard Community Church affected your life, Greg?
Well, it's turned it around immensely. Because I used to be pretty much on the wrong road with the old rock and roll party lifestyle. It took me to some bad places. I made a lot of bad choices back then. And let's see, since I was baptized, I think it was 2 years, 2015, Easter, and it was awesome. But even before that, I've been started walking with the Lord more so. And, you know, trying to be, I like to say, selfless instead of selfish, doing for others. And it's done wonders in my life. I'm doing so much better and all around.
All right. So how about, what's like a favorite, what do you like best about the church?
The church is awesome. I love the people. I love your approach.
The Bible study approach.
To everything.
All right.
Yes, sir. It seems to be true, definitely true.
Okay. You've developed some relationships here that have seemed to have been real helpful.
Definitely have. Pastor Chip has been an amazing part of my life, and you as well. Everyone on staff, amazing. And everyone that I meet here is always positive, not judgmental. I love it.
Well, so would it be fair to say, Greg, before you were coming here, you were heading down this way, and now you're heading down this way? Complete change in your life.
I'd say that, yeah, but I might go the other way, that way.
You were going this way.
I'm going
now you're going this way. Thank you, man. And for that, we are happy, Greg. We are very happy. How about Leslie Wells? Where's Leslie at? Here she comes. All right. So this is Leslie Wells. So Leslie, how long have you been coming to the church?
I started off and on with a friend in 2010, and then in 2012, when I moved to Black Lake, I started coming regularly, and I think I have not missed a Sunday except for being out of town.
Whoa, all right. Now she gets special. All right, Leslie, I'm with you. So how has coming to Vineyard Community Church affected your life?
This church has helped me spread my wings in ways that I never expected. I'm a foreign missionary now.
Yeah.
I'm an usher.
Yeah.
And the meet and greet that we used to do would like freak me out. We used to talk about this in care group, and now I stand at the door and greet people as they come in, and that it's just pushed me out my comfort zone. And Sockham really does that.
Sockham being School of Kingdom Ministry. Yeah. So foreign missionary. Leslie is a foreign missionary. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I've been to Vietnam twice, and next March will be my third trip, and that is a life-changing experience.
Yeah, so what would you say to people if they want to join up?
Oh, go. You will not regret it. Yeah. The food's awful, but you
the
can
food
get past
is awful. Yes, the flight is awful, but it's great. It is life changing. Truly is. How about just a quick favorite memory, or what do you like best about the church, Leslie?
My very favorite thing about this church is our care group, the Richardson Care Group.
Nice. Chip probably paying you for that, a little advertising. Tonight meets tonight.
Maybe, yeah.
All right, Leslie. Well, thank you.
Appreciate you
this morning. All right. How about Jim Foster? Where's Jim at? Here he comes. All right. So Jim got baptized this morning. I thought we'd get a chance to visit with Tim. So, Jim, how long have you been coming to the church?
I'm right around the 3 month mark.
3 months, really exciting. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your first couple visits here. What was it like?
Honestly, at first it was a little nerve wracking. Yes. I've kind of had trouble trying to find a place where I belong, where I felt welcomed, where I just kind of felt a sense of peace. And first time I came here, a little bit of that. Second time it was like gone. Then I just kind of felt a part of something through all of you, talking to you. I've never felt more welcome. The relationships that I've, made through here have been astounding.
So you got baptized today. You're sharing in the back. Just share with everybody a little bit how's coming to the church affected your life.
Oh, it's been huge. Most of my life I've kind of been like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. And I just didn't feel like I fit anywhere. I didn't know who I was. And ever since I started coming here, I feel like I actually have a purpose. I don't know yet what that is, but I definitely know it's waiting for me. So that's exciting.
Yeah. And you said that, so Greg's a dad, and he said he knew his purpose for sure was being a father. But you said now, as far as your purpose, well, we could say surely it's to dedicate your life to following Christ. That is
correct.
Your purpose, right?
And, yes.
And you were sharing how has God met that need or that hunger you talked about, that hole in your heart?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've dealt with depression and anxiety my whole life. But this sense of peace that I experienced just in commute to picking up my kids, going to work, all that stuff is gone. Like, I just feel okay no matter where I go.
Man, That is awesome, man. Yeah. Good for you, man. Good for you. Thank you. Yeah, man, that's good, Jim. All right, we'll do one more. How about Megan? Is Megan here? Megan Phillips? Come on, Megan. So now Megan's been at our church for a while. She is one of our children's ministry directors in the back. So I thought it'd be fun just to get a chance to meet Megan. So Megan, how long have you been coming to the church?
Since 2010.
So 7 years. Yeah. And how did you end up coming to the church?
Well, my husband now, my boyfriend.
It was your boyfriend.
Well, his family, Darcy and Joe.
The Phillips brought you.
Yes, they did. I came with them.
Okay. And so how has being a part of Vineyard affected your life?
Well, I did not grow up in church at all, so I was like always one of those people that's like, I don't need church. Yeah, I wasn't bad. I don't want to say bad, a lot of people have their stories.
Like Greg going down, yeah. you were maybe medium.
I was medium.
You were medium, all right. Medium.
Sorry, Greg.
Bad.
Yeah.
I think Jim said he was, what did you say, Jim? You were a good, you said I was a good sinner. I said, no.
Yeah.
A good bad sinner is what he meant.
Yeah.
But you were medium bad.
I feel like I was always a good person. I always did nice things for people, whatever. I just never knew I needed God or church until I started coming. And I was always one of those people, too, that was kind of like leery of church because I thought everyone was going to like judge me and know that I didn't belong there because I've never been to church. So, I was like, oh, they're going to be weird and those churchy people are going to judge me, And then after a few months of coming and people, like, I would be nervous, like, oh, people are raising their hands during worship. Should I do that? Should I not do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot of, like, this for a while and then this for a while. But now I'm, like, one of those churchy, like, worshiping.
All right.
I love it.
It's good.
So,
all right. How about, what do you like best about the church?
I guess I would say the personal connections that I've made. I've made a lot of friends through this church, through MOPS, through just like events, partnering with other churches and just, anything that we do, like our Halloween event or, any of the community events too, like Jasmine Fest. I just meet a lot of people and a lot of those people I've like made really good friendships with. So it's just like crazy to me how many people I have that are Christians now that I never used to have, and like real Christians, you always talk about that, like
right.
People
cultural,
say they're Christians,
yeah.
but going to church consistently, praying all the time, like good Christian friends.
Solid.
And, yeah, like really good lifelong friendships.
And the coolest thing is Megan's on staff here, so that is a cool journey. We, you know, she started coming, made a commitment to Christ, got married here, now on staff. That is awesome, Megan.
Yes.
So, hey, if you want to get to know her better, you can work with the children's ministry in the back.
Yes, Megan. Let's always plug that. And MOPS,
that's right.
MOPS.
She's involved with MOPS, so thanks, Megan. Appreciate you. Do me a favor and pull the insert out inside your bulletin. Just want to take a minute here and just, first of all, thank all of you because, you know, we could never do any of this stuff without your commitment and your passion for God and your willingness to serve. And so, you know, we just, this is kind of a reporting out. You can see our, we got our cash flow here. We got on the second part here, it's our clinic statistics. I just want you to know that the clinics that we've been running, we're entering our 12th year doing these free clinics, and they have become the joy of my life. I'm just so happy that our church is able to offer real meaningful help for people. And you just get to see all the different things that are going on with our clinics, the medical, pregnancy, vision, computer, legal, haircutting, bicycle, and tax preparation. And then you just see, you know, these people are volunteering these hours. It's 1,281 hours. I'm a stat guy. You know, one of the other pastors asked me a while ago, you know, do you keep any stats? I said, oh, yeah, we keep stats because I just think it's just nice to know what are we doing and are we doing anything. And I just want to close with a passage out of the book of Hebrews. It's in Hebrews chapter 6. And it says, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know, on the back of this, I think it's 55 different ministries that this church is involved in. I can tell you right now it's too many, but it sure is fun. It sure is really a lot of fun. But it's because of you folks. You know, you're all, we got people that are serving. You know, your average, I'm sure you've heard of this phrase, the Pareto principle. The Pareto principle in organizations says that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 80% of the people do 20% of the work. And it's a stat that people have thrown around for years. And in churches, it's quite often true. But I just want you to know, we do keep stats on people getting involved. And we keep the information about who's doing what. And we run roughly about 90% of our people who attend this church, you folks, at some time or other, have been involved in one of these 55 different ministries. And for that, I thank you. And actually, thank you. Thank you. But the thing about that is, you know, you are laboring and you're giving of your free time and you're giving of your money and you're, you know, you're sacrificing. And sometimes I feel a little guilty, like I'm asking of you, but my heart is right because I know, folks, I know if I can push you a little bit and help you get involved and do something to help us advance the kingdom of God, this verse says God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. This means that God, I believe this is saying, it would be unjust for him to forget. So he doesn't forget. I think God is saying, listen, basically, I'll never be in debt to you. You serve me, and I will repay. That's what he says in the Gospel of Matthew on Judgment Day. The end of Matthew, he says, in what you have done to the least of these people, you've done it to me, and he will repay. So I wish I could do more to thank you. I, you know, sometimes I think, man, I'd like to give all of you a gift, and I'd like to have a party in your name and invite you over to my house and hang out with you, and I just think, you know, I just can't. But I am so grateful to know that Almighty God keeps better records than we'll ever keep. And he will reward you. He will reward you. And then just one other thought. I've told you this story before, but this is one of my favorite verses. A lot of times when I do get around to sending thank you cards to people, I try to write on there Hebrews 6:10 to say, hey, don't worry about anything because God has got you, man. He's keeping good records. And I know sometimes that scares people because you think, you know. Actually, a couple chapters later, God doesn't forget your good works, but in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but there is one thing he forgets, and that is your sins. He He forgets your sins, but he remembers your works done unto him. He will reward you. And your labor is unto God. And together, as a church family, we get to advance the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, it's like you were saying, Jim, it gives you purpose. It gives your life purpose, man. I don't want to live my life and come to the end and just say, well, what did I made money. I own a piece of property. I have a car. I need something more than that. I need this understanding of a transcendence, something beyond me. And it's that understanding that Almighty God is a part of my life and I am a part of his life. And together we are helping to advance his kingdom, because Jesus said, pray for his kingdom to come to this earth. And together we are advancing it. And then just one last thought on that, and then we're going to finish up. It is so awesome that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, and that you have served the saints. You have served the saints. I just think that's the coolest thing in the world, because I grew up as a Catholic, and when I was, I think, in fifth or sixth grade, I got into this thing about reading books, and during that entire school year, I read 50 books, and every book was about a saint. I had to be the Holy Spirit that did this, but I was not saved, but I just read these books, and they were so incredible. And I started thinking, man, I would like to be a saint someday. I would like to be a saint. But I knew every one of those stories, they all had to die a martyr. It's not the best, it's not like a career calling, kind of a thing. Short-lived. But I just thought, you're not a saint unless you die a martyr. Then when I was 19, I got saved. I invited God into my life, and I felt his Holy Spirit, and I began reading his Bible, and I started running across verses like this. And at the beginning of most of the epistles, Paul says, to the saints in Corinth and to the saints in Ephesus, and here that you have shown and cared for the saints. And I started realizing, well, these people are alive. And then I got the revelation. You don't have to die to be a saint. You become a saint the day you open your heart to God and you receive God's Holy Spirit in your life. You are sainted. Sainthood. I don't know if you get the little halo, but you are sainted. I tell Roxanna and my kids that all the time. They don't believe me. They think, yeah, okay, Dave. I'm Saint David. You're Saint Phil. You're Saint Bert. You're saint. You are a saint. Not because of your good works. You are sainted. You are made a saint because Jesus Christ has set you apart. The word saint means set apart for God's use. I've been separated, man. And you all have been a part of serving God's people and beyond. And for that, I am thankful, but I am even more thankful that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. So we're going to take our offering at this time. Is Dr. Kesick here? Yeah, come on up, Dave. So Dr. Kesick runs what we refer to as Luke's Brigade. And I put the mic over here. So we're going to take a regular offering today. But in your bulletin, there is a little envelope. You can give what we call a birthday present to the church. And what we use that money for is we buy these first aid kits. And they're $15 a kit. But Dr. Kesick is doing a wonderful thing. Dave, real briefly, just share what's going on with Luke's Brigade.
Sure. I just want to thank... Is this on? Okay, good. The church, just so thankful for you and your contributions, because you're the financial engine by which Luke's Brigade operates. So, and we spend every penny of the offering that you give every year. But what we do is we go into developing countries where there is no health care available. And we train people how to do the very basic things, basic first aid, which is really high-level health care in some countries. And then every individual that takes the course, we give them a certificate of completion, and we give them one of those first aid kits. And I want to tell you, because of your contributions, those kits have been flung to the far ends of the earth, as far as Nepal and India, and Brazil, and Belize, and Honduras, and Guatemala, and Vietnam. So they've been all over the world because of this one church and your contributions. So Amen. We're very thankful
Thank
for that.
You. Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So where's our ushers? We're going to take our offering at this time.
Have a blessed week.